Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio to Target Demo Friday. So let us know on Twitter and on Facebook what you're doing, where you're at, and how you're listening to the show. And we'll read those coming up in the final hour of the program. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, and also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Coming up this hour, you'll be thrilled to hear where you can catch Chris Berman next. You won't even believe it when I tell you what broadcast he's going to be part of. We'll do that coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. Also, your best audio of the day. Later on in the hour, including Markel Fultz with a second lease on life in Orlando. But this story about Adam Silver is really interesting. Adam Silver, in one of the State of the NBA addresses going into All-Star Weekend, was asked about the NFL and its overtures. Reportedly, the NFL has tested the temperature on Adam Silver's interest in leaving the NBA to run the NFL. Silver said, quote, "I'll just say I have not given it any thought. I feel very fortunate to be in this position. As a longtime fan, as a longtime league employee, the opportunity to become the commissioner of this league was beyond anything I have ever dreamed of as a kid." Silver tells ESPN, "I've loved every day I've been in this job, and I think there's nothing but enormous opportunity ahead for this league. Ultimately, I realize I'm just passing through like every player who's gone through this league and ultimately like every owner. And I feel an enormous obligation to the fans and to this greater NBA family to do my best and try my hardest every day. But that's where 100% of my focus is," end of quote. I understand why the NFL would be interested in Adam Silver. Roger Goodell makes this league a lot of money. Roger Goodell, people are going to sniff and laugh and barf at his salary. You know why he makes that salary? He makes that salary because the owners think that he should make that salary. I find it ludicrous when people say he's not worth that. How could he make that? That's crazy. The owners are dictating the salary of the commissioner, and they have dictated he is worth $40, $35 million a year because he makes them that much money. Here's where I would dissent. I think a lot of guys could make them that much money, but he just happens to have been the guy in place in 2019 when he took over 10 years ago, whatever it was, at a time where the league was already a monster, the culture was already set, and this country desperately thirsts for football every single day of the year. I think a lot of guys could have done what Roger Goodell has done, but he happens to be the guy in that chair, so he's worth that money to them. Why are they interested in Adam Silver? Adam Silver didn't shoot down this report. He didn't say it never happened. Why would the NFL be interested in Adam Silver? I'll tell you why. Because there's only one thing the NFL doesn't have. There's only one thing. They have cultural superiority. They have cash registers ringing at a crazy rate.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
They have every television network fighting over them. And they even have us, who we say, we don't like the NFL, and we don't like this guy, and we don't like that guy, and we don't like relocation, and we don't like NFL Europe, and we don't like domestic violence, and we don't like kneeling. And you know what? Nobody turns it off. Oh, I'm sure somebody out there is raising their hand right now. DA, I turned it off. I went away from the NFL. And that's great. Good for you. I'm glad you took a stand and could let it go. But 95% of fans couldn't let it go. So they've got everything except one little iota, one little molecule, one little thing that they don't have. They don't have trust in the commissioner's office. Fans don't trust them. Media doesn't trust them. Players don't trust them. That's the one thing they lack. They got us as fans. They got the money. They've got the cultural relevance. They've got the power. For the most part, they've got the butts in the seats. They definitely have us watching on TV. The only thing they don't have is trust in that seat. Fans don't trust Goodell. Media doesn't trust Goodell. Players don't trust Goodell. Adam Silver elicits that emotion from everybody. We trust Adam Silver. And I'll tell you why. I read to you that quote. And Adam Silver says something Roger Goodell would never say, or if he said, you wouldn't believe him. I realize I'm just passing through like every player. And I feel an obligation to the fans and to this greater NBA family to do my best and try my hardest. If Roger Goodell said that, we would laugh because he wouldn't mean it. Because the guy's got an enormous ego. He is not grounded. He is not a regular dude. Let me give you a story about me and Roger Goodell. A couple of years ago, I did a weekly hit on NFL Network for their morning show. And we did it from a studio in New York City because their morning show was stationed on the West Coast in LA, where most of NFL Network's programming comes from. So I was in New York. I would get done with the overnight show here on CBS Sports Radio at about 6 a.m. I would probably leave here around 6:30 a.m. and I would head over to their New York studios in their Park Avenue offices. They had Park Avenue offices where Roger Goodell's, his office was, and the rest of the league. And on the bottom floor in the basement would be kind of a makeshift TV studio where I would do a hit via satellite. And it happened this bottom floor also was where the office's gym was. So people would enter that bottom floor and go work out before their day in the office. One day, the engineer that usually worked with me wasn't there to let me in. And this is now 7 a.m. in the morning where it's not just normal working hours. So I get to this door. I text the producer, the engineer. Nobody's answering. I'm waiting at this door. And the only people coming through this door at 7 a.m. are people going in to work out. Who's there to work out? Roger Goodell. So Goodell comes in. Or he's actually coming out, and I'm there waiting at the door. And so I kind of give him a high sign through the glass door, and then he opens up the door because he's coming out. And he says, can I help you? And I said, well, actually, you're probably the one guy in this office that absolutely can help me. Kind of as a joke. No smile, deadpan, looking daggers through me. Okay. I explain who I am. I show him my badge. I say, I'm doing this morning hit. Can you let me in? Can you tell somebody I'm here? Doesn't say anything. Looks at me, looks at the badge, looks at me, looks at the badge, as though I was there to commit some type of terrible criminality. Again, I'm in a suit. I'm in a tie. I've got a badge. I've got a business card for where I work. I don't expect him to recognize me, but this would be a pretty amazing ruse if I'm showing up at 7 a.m. to the gym of the NFL's offices to do something bad. Looks at me, doesn't say anything, and just kind of grumbles. Okay? And just kind of opens up the door. All right. Thanks, Raj. Really great to see you. Look, you're coming out of the gym. It's 7 a.m. Maybe you've had a long night. Maybe it's a bad morning, whatever. But I'm sitting there going, boy, that is the most impersonal anybody could ever be in that instance. And I think about what Adam Silver would do. I'm not saying Adam Silver has to set me down and go over 45 minutes over tea and crumpets about the league, but there'd at least be a human being inside the body. Roger Goodell has this incredibly massive ego, and he doesn't come off as human. And so he stiff-arms his way through every negotiation, every decision, and guess what? He wins because the NFL wins. You can't fail in that spot. You can't. He is succeeding because every commissioner ever has succeeded there. Pete Rozelle succeeded. Paul Tagliabue succeeded. Roger Goodell is succeeding. And whoever follows Roger Goodell is going to succeed. It can't fail. I would even say with CTE, and in 20 years, most of America will not want their kids playing football and might even be slightly queasy watching football in 20 years. It can't fail. It won't fail. It's too big. Adam Silver would give the NFL the one thing they lack: us trusting that chair. When Goodell comes out on Deflategate, or he comes out on domestic violence, or he comes out on Ray Rice, or he comes out on NFL Europe, or he comes out on something, every time he speaks, you go, I don't like that guy. Every time. Every time he speaks. Why did he hide from the lack of a flag on Nickell Robey-Coleman in the NFC Championship game? Would Adam Silver have hid? Adam Silver would not have hid. Because Adam Silver every day has a groundedness. He doesn't assume he's the smartest guy in the room, even though he might be. He is a normal guy who's very bright, but very humble. He does not assume he has all the answers. And for that, the players trust him. He doesn't try to stiff arm them. He doesn't try to drop a hammer on them. He works with them. He works with the owners. He largely does what he truly believes is the right thing to do. Roger Goodell has no ethics. Roger Goodell does not come from a place of this is the right thing to do. Roger Goodell comes from a place of where's the money? Is the money here on this decision? Is the money there? Let's listen to the fans. Let's listen to the media, because I'm just going to go where I think the popular thought is. Adam Silver doesn't act that way. Adam Silver does what he truly believes is right, and by and large, I trust his values. I trust where he's coming from because he has shown that he is humble and grounded, yet very smart. Smart's tough. It is. It's why you're listening to the show. I hate to say it, but there's a lot of sports talk radio out there that's dumb. We can be very dumb on this show. I like that balance. I like having Mraz around. I think you need a dose of dumb. But you also have to have things that are smart. Because smart is tough. It's what separates people that you trust. It's what separates people that you know are making right decisions. It's what separates credibility. Smart is tough. I don't think Roger Goodell's all that smart. I think he's been put in a great position. He walks the walk. I don't know. I don't think he's that smart. I think Adam Silver's really smart. Smart people understand you need help. Smart people understand that they don't know it all. Smart people understand there's a right way and a wrong way to do things, and that there's a bigger picture here, and it's not about just me. And when Adam Silver says, I'm just like every player and ultimately every owner. I'm passing through. I'm trying to do the best job I can passing through. You get the sense Roger Goodell feels as though the shield starts and ends with him. That he somehow built the greatness of the league and that he'll never leave. I trust and you trust, for the most part, Adam Silver. None of us trust Roger Goodell. The one thing the NFL does not have. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all, geico.com. Chris is next up in Toronto, listening on the Fan 590. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to mention two things. First and foremost, I want to say Kyle Dubas is doing an amazing job. I think there's a lot of people criticizing him that don't even know how to balance their checkbooks. And he's doing a great job as a general manager, managing all these acquisitions and talents that are like top 10 draft picks. Now, secondly, in terms of the NFL and NBA, the marketing machine behind the NFL is phenomenal. It earns about $8 billion a year. Goodell is responsible for a lot of good things. Increasing the revenue is massive. That's why players do love him, because they're getting these.
How can you say that players? Contracts. How can you say players love Roger Goodell?
When they're going to go and get their $100 million or $76 million guaranteed, that's based on what Roger Goodell is doing while he's in power.
Don't you think any commissioner would be able to do that with the NFL?
Well, the NFL has been set up as a phenomenal marketing machine. It's like watching a live chess match once a week. It's very easy to tune into. Phenomenal marketing job within the last 40 years.
Okay, well, right? But Roger Goodell's not part of all 40 years.
No, he's part of it right now, so we have to give credit where credit is due. He walked into a phenomenal situation.
I totally disagree that the players love Roger Goodell. Totally 100% disagree.
I think when they're getting paid and cashing those checks, I think they're perfectly fine.
Are you paying attention to what they're saying on social media about the league and about the commissioner?
They don't like the no-fun league. I think that's where Adam Silver would come back in and be able to take it to another height that it deserves to go to, with the NFL booming globally and everybody loving what the NBA is doing under Adam Silver's watch. I think he'd be...
See you, Chris. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number, 855-212-4227. That was going nowhere fast. When we come back here on the show, Chris Berman is back in the broadcast booth. You won't believe where. And I think we have our epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Your Nomad series is just amazing. And if you've never been down there, what an amazing experience. That's just one of the most amazing college football settings and just one of the most amazing, beautiful colleges around.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, check out my Nomad digital travel series where I travel for sporting events and then try to get a little culture around said events, eating, drinking, and overall being merry. Go to YouTube and search DA and Nomad or Damon and Nomad, my name spelled backwards, and you'll find the entire series there, over 70 episodes. Did our last caller, Chris in Toronto, cite Maple Leafs GM Kyle Dubas? Is that what I heard there? Chris tweets, DA, you went savage on Chris in Toronto. I thought I was listening to the Jim Rome show. Dixie Landan tweets, holy crap, I don't think I've ever heard you get that pissed off and disagree with a caller that much. You hung up on him. That was a bad call, but usually you let people make more of a fool of themselves. That was savage.
Get him out.
Well, he started off, we're talking about everything except Maple Leafs hockey, okay? I don't know when the last time I talked Maple Leafs hockey was. And so Chris in Toronto leads with the Maple Leafs GM take. Where does that come from? We were not talking about Kyle Dubas. We were not talking about the roster build of the Maple Leafs. So I don't know where that came from. That got me off on the wrong foot. And then secondly, didn't have any facts to back up his point. Who has ever said, I think the players love Roger Goodell? I mean, that just seems to be the most obvious wrong point ever. And then he follows that up by saying, you've got to give Goodell credit because he walked into this situation that was built 40 years ago.
How does that make any sense? All of that just felt like a waste of time. Sometimes callers are so bad, you give them enough leash to hang themselves. I don't know, Mraz. That just felt like we were wasting everybody's time.
I still don't understand what just happened. And how does he say...
How could it happen?
I just kick it over his line. You got to give him credit for walking into that job. That's the reason you don't give him credit. Whoever said that? It's like saying, you know, you're the best burger flipper ever. You got to give him credit. You know, he's the one who grabbed that spatula. Like, it was handed to him. I think that's a bad analogy, but you get my point.
It's a really bad analogy, but yes, I get your point.
And even with the hockey point, I mean, we don't talk hockey, but Kyle Dubas just signed the best hockey player in the NHL to a contract. I mean, that's not that hard. Just give him money, and here he is. I mean, enough. I've had enough of people today.
Who would have thought a Friday would bring us a Kyle Dubas take?
And, you know, because the Permission Credit Podcast isn't here, I'm just going to bring you behind the scenes at the A Show real quick. The epic fail on tap was going to be Pete the Body Bilotti melting down about the Memphis Express. And the moment you said, I think we have our epic fail regarding that caller, Pete turned to me and goes, oh, come on, I was finally the fail, and now this dope takes it from me?
That is true. I don't want to give Chris in Toronto any more run that he's already gotten. He's now gotten a full-fledged idiot phone call and a segment after that talking about how idiotic the phone call was. So Pete's right, I'm wrong. Scratch Chris in Toronto off the fail. Let's go back to Pete.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're lucky I didn't start working on it yet, because I would have scratched that right back.
Did you know that the Red Sox radio broadcasts are turning into a cast of Whose Line Is It Anyway? It has now become a sketch comedy troupe. Have you seen this story? This is amazing. The Red Sox on radio, on an intercom radio station in Boston, WEEI, so a sister station of ours, have now turned to a cast of thousands to call games. I guess Tim Neverett is out, and I guess he was really bad. I don't know. I have not listened to radio Red Sox broadcast since I lived up there, and that was now 6 years ago. So their longtime play-by-play voice, Joe Castiglione, is going to continue. But they're going to add other play-by-play guys to that second role. And so I guess Castiglione's going to call some innings, and then the number two guy is also going to call some other innings. They've added Sean McDonough, which, God bless. McDonough is one of the most versatile, greatest play-by-play voices we have, and he called Red Sox games for 15 years on TV. So he's the perfect fit. McDonough is absolutely amazing. I know some people didn't like him from Monday Night Football. Maybe the chemistry with Gruden was off. When you hear McDonough call a college basketball game with Billis and Raftery, it is the stuff of legend. He is amazing. They will also add former Mets voice Josh Lewin. So Lewin will do some games. Okay, Josh Lewin's been around the league for a number of years. They will also add Lou Merlone, former Red Sox player, who's now a talk show host on WEEI, and Dale Arnold, another host on WEEI, a sports talk host who has done some play-by-play before. They'll also add Tom Caron, who's the studio host for Nesson Red Sox broadcasts, and Dave O'Brien, the TV voice of the Red Sox for Nesson when he is unavailable to call TV because it's a national game, so it's in the Fox or the Turner window. They've also added the Tigers play-by-play guy that got in the brawl in the press box last year, Impemba. So this is amazing. McDonough, Lewin, Impemba, Merlone, Arnold, Caron, and O'Brien are all part of the radio broadcast team now.
By God, it's Chris Berman's music. It's going to be the Royal Rumble.
And the final voice of Red Sox radio broadcasts is the inimitable Chris Boomer Berman.
Back up!
Could you imagine Berman doing like three random innings of a July Red Sox Rays game? Could you imagine? How is this going to work? How could it happen?
How could it happen?
I mean, does it work to have Berman call three innings of a nondescript midseason Red Sox road trip? Does this work, Mraz? Could this work? Could this be the most glorious broadcast pairing of all time?
Back out!
And we have a developing situation. Chris Tag Sale taking the mound.
Tag Sale with the wind up and the pitch. High ball one. Up. Here goes the up. Got another ball out of his pocket. Red Sox lead 2-0. Nobody circles the wagons like the Tampa Bay Rays.
Raphael never devers.
Look who's strutting to the mound. Rocco Deflated Ball Deli. strutting to the plate. J.D.K. Martinez. Back to the wall. Foul. Swing. Back to the wall. Foul. Oh, Chris Yard Sale comes to the plate. Ball.
Mookie, all bets off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Joe, all bets are off. That one's gone. We have a developing situation.
If Berman does a Yankee Red Sox game, him and Sterling going back and forth on home run calls would be unbelievable.
The frozen tundra of Fenway Park in the early April dew. It's the Astros. The Astros.
He's trying to do the Raiders thing.
The Astros.
Now Chris Berman became How Could It Happen guy.
It's the Red Sox and the Mariners on the frozen tundra of Safeco Field as Mookie, all bets are off, steps to the plate.
And you know Benintendi sings, Hadi, 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 ha.
Hadi, 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 Chan Hawk Po.
Kimbrel is nimble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, this is going to be great. So just so you know, every time Berman does anything on Red Sox radio this summer, we will play it on the air. It's mandatory. It is going to become all of soundcheck. Here's cut one from a Mookie Betts sacrifice bunt in the first inning. Berman on the call. Here is a pop fly to left in the third. Berman on the call.
The first pitch.
No one circles the bases like Mookie Betts.
By the way, how many announcers are you going to hire? It's like the Naked Gun.
Andrew Benihana Benintendi.
855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, a little sound check. When we discuss Markel Fultz and his return, can he come back for his new team, the Orlando Magic? Where's his head at? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Our friend Adam Zucker joining us.
There's never a hair out of place on Saturday.
It helps when you're losing it. It clumps per month, you know.
Oh, no.
We all get older, D.A. I'm sorry.
I know, but you...
Turning 40, I could handle. Two kids, I could handle. We got a puppy a few months ago. I'm toast.
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
I find myself walking around the house or in everyday life saying, I'm toast.
I'm toast.
Just like Adam Zucker from the SEC on CBS. Something will happen to me, and I'm like, I'm toast.
I'm toast.
I leave the house a little bit later than normal. I miss the train I'm trying to catch. I just sit there to myself and say, I'm toast.
I'm toast.
Yesterday, the Bourbon Bell, I had plans. See, we were just down last weekend in Florida. We got out of town after football season. My weekend's free up a little bit because I always have Sunday morning football and obviously watching all of the games Saturday and Sunday. So when football season ends, the Bourbon Bell gets her life back a little bit. So I like to treat her to trip somewhere so we get out of the cold and the snow. We go down to Florida once a year right after football season, go there for a long weekend. So last weekend we were down there for about 3 days, hung out, got to go to Key Biscayne for a day, went to Key Largo for a day. It was really nice. And so I kind of made sure that that was our Valentine's trip. So I picked up the dinners and did some nice things. And, you know, I thought treated her very well. So last night, I also had flowers ready for when she came home and she was coming back from a business trip. So I thought that I was kind of in the clear of maybe like half of Valentine's Day because I had just done kind of the full weekend and I bought her flowers, her favorite flowers. So she's like, I got your present. And I'm like, oh, huh. Got your card. I'm like, ah, So she gives me the card and the present. And in my head, I literally said to myself, I'm toast.
I'm toast. Oh, my goodness.
So now I got to make it up to her. I didn't say I screwed it up. I didn't say I thought this was like a halvesies Valentine's Day. Because I'm also going to get jammed up because next week is the one-year anniversary of us getting engaged, which we're doing something for.
You celebrate that?
Yeah.
What's going on here? You got married. You already had four anniversaries.
I think it was only... It was the 1 year of us getting engaged. That's a big deal. I don't think we'll do that every year.
I do not remember.
But that's also 1 week after Valentine's Day, so that's a tough spot for me.
Maybe that's why you remember, but I would venture to guess most men don't even remember the date they got engaged.
Well, do you think I really remember, or have I been reminded of it?
Wow. Okay.
Look. So I'm going to plan on doing something nice, but last night I got the gift, and I said, boy, I'm toast. I did Adam Zucker. I'm toast.
I'm toast.
I got a nice Nets zip-up. I gave my wife cash.
Come on.
I did.
You gave Danielle cash for Valentine's Day?
She's going to Baltimore to friends this week, and I said, buy a couple drinks on me.
And would you slip her a 20?
I actually Venmo'd it.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. No way.
I have the proof of my Venmo.
No.
Yeah. I Venmo'd her some cash. I said, have a good time this weekend.
How and what was the emojis?
Beer emojis.
Beer, not even a heart.
No.
Nice. So your Valentine's Day gift to the only woman in America that would marry you is $30 on Venmo with beer emojis.
It was 75.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
I was $75. She also just got her master's, but I was reminded that's all I get for lumping both in Valentine's Day and the master's graduation is $75.
Good for her.
By the way, we're married and share money. She has a lot of flowers and chocolate. What's she going to do?
Oh, come on. So you gave her her money.
Well, our money, but like it wasn't out of her account. I have an account too, so she comes.
Good for her.
Comes home, tissue paper, this nice Brooklyn Nets zip up. I'm like, oh, let me go to my phone and Venmo you here.
Oh my God, that is awful. That is awful.
I got her a card from the dog though too. That was nice.
So you bought her a card from you and another one from the dog.
Yeah.
All right, so you get two cards.
No flowers, no chocolates.
Did you cook her dinner?
Yeah, I made some quesadillas.
Okay, she did tweet that she wanted quesadillas.
That's the only thing she requested.
I saw that.
She doesn't like going out to eat on Valentine's. She said it's a ripoff, it's ridiculous. So she eats like a third grader, so I made her quesadillas. She got a quesadillas and cash. Happy Valentine's Day.
How romantic.
I was not toast.
I Venmo'd her money. Her own money. You guys share finances.
Please give her a gift card to like Starbucks or something.
But she's going away. Now she doesn't have to feel guilty about tapping into anything out of her personal account.
That's amazing. It's a Target Demo Friday, so we're asking you what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening. And I tweeted out a picture today of something one of my good friends back in Kansas City, my producer in KC, Josh Klingler, who works for 610 Sports in KC, tweeted out that his wife got him. It is a man bouquet. And the bottom of the bouquet is beers, in this case, a six-pack of Dos Equis. And then the bouquet of flowers is
beef jerky or Slim Jim meat sticks topped with what appears to be spicy salami. So it's meat flowers and beer on the bottom. I got to say, Mraz, I would not have minded if that was my gift last night.
That is an ultimate gift. Anytime you could slap meats on top of meats and surround it with delicate beers, oh, baby, that's a Valentine's
Day. Slapping meats on top of meats.
Yeah, you're taking jerky, you're sliding salami on the jerky, and you're popping it right in your mouth. It's freaking great.
Mraz is freaking fat.
Slapping meats. That's what Valentine's Day is all about.
My wife, girlfriends, whatever comes home, slaps meats right on meats. Let's go.
Delicate beers and slapping meats.
You tell me a better Valentine's Day. It beats cash and the flowers us two bozos came up with yesterday.
Look, I'll tell you. Beers and slapping meats is a lot of people's Valentine's Day.
That's all I want for my Valentine's Day, slapping meats.
I got some great drops there.
You can check this out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show, and our Twitter page, DA on CBS. Time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Markelle Fultz traded to the Orlando Magic, the number one pick overall. The number one pick overall already on his second team.
I just looked at the opportunity in front of me, and I thought, I mean, it was perfect for me and my family, you know, to get a fresh start and, you know, especially with the team and, you know, the coaching staff here and the organization, I was more than happy. Every practice matters, you know, going into the season. It's a long season, but, you know, you should go day by day. You just take it professional as you can, but have fun with it, you know, with your teammates. And the closer your team is, the better you'll do.
I understand why the Orlando Magic made this trade. They have the opportunity to acquire the number one pick overall and not have to give up a lottery pick themselves. However, I don't think that Markelle Fultz will ever become a star in this league. I think the way that this career has started for him, it'll never get off the ground. He can become a decent player. He can become a contributor. I don't think he will ever end up becoming a star. And I hate to say that because it's so early in his life and so early in his career. But I'll tell you, these stories never end up where, oh, early in his career, he had a mysterious injury. Early in his career, nobody knew why they were so secretive. Early in his career, nobody knew if it was a mental injury, a physical injury, if his brain was scrambled, if he was lacking confidence, if he was worried, all of this. And then he suddenly became a superstar. That never happens. Now, could he? My only hope is that maybe Victor Oladipo shows that a lottery pick just needs a change in scenery. But for Markelle Fultz, it's a physical and a mental injury. It's not playing time. It's not fit. It's not a fit within a team, and that really worries me. I just don't think Fultz ever ends up looking like the number one pick overall. Jeff Luhnow is the Astros general manager and admits that he had a trade in place to get Bryce Harper last year.
It's been reported there was an agreement in principle in place, and it was it didn't get over the finish line for whatever reason, out of our control. But yeah, we had interest. We had worked out an agreement with players both ways, and but you know, those things have approval levels that they have to go through, and so it didn't happen, and we moved on.
That's a huge deal. Imagine the Astros would have acquired Bryce Harper at the end of the season. Does that push them over the top, past the Yankees, past the Red Sox, into the World Series, and then ultimately winning a back-to-back championship? I believe it does. That would have been enormous. I don't know how much they would have given up. But the Astros obviously fell short in the ALCS, and a bat like Harper's would have been enormous. And finally, Brandon Stokley, former Broncos wide receiver, was on Tiki and Tierney yesterday discussing John Elway's quarterback evaluation.
When you look at it, look, just because you play quarterback at a high level doesn't mean you're going to be a good evaluator of the quarterback position. So I think that's what it tells us first and foremost. And then secondly, look, I mean, everybody has, issues finding the quarterback, unless you're in Green Bay or, Kansas City got their Mahomes. But it's a hard thing to do. It really is, because the game that they're playing in college is so different than the game that they're playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
And now the NFL is slowly starting to come around and incorporate more of those concepts in the NFL game. But it's a hard thing. It is, to find quarterbacks. And if you're not picking number one overall and Andrew Luck's there for you, look, it's a hard thing to do. And transitioning after Peyton Manning, if you miss a couple times, it sets you back so much. And that's kind of where the Broncos are.
Yeah, look, it's hard, but you have to do it. I mean, sorry, it's hard. So there's 32 general managers, and they all have to find a quarterback. And that's just the way that it is. But saying that it's hard doesn't mean that it's not your responsibility to get it right. I think that Joe Flacco takes unnecessary shots because he's boring and vanilla and people don't like his personality. If he was dynamic and fun and a leader that yelled on the field, I think he would get more love. But he doesn't, and so he's been crushed. I don't think he's great, but I think it was a fine trade for the Broncos, and I think people that want to crush that trade just want to crush Flacco for any reason. When we come back, did AD hurt his trade value last night?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.